You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now, 7:07 and a half, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Before I start some classic top of the hour announcements, I want to say sometimes the universe, the cosmic ballet, as we like to say, all comes into just beautiful congruence together, and today's the day.
It is.
I have our good friend Tony Ford, Founders Institute.
Good morning.
What's the name
good
of your morning. Company, the Nerd Jam, or what are you called?
Magnitude Management.
What's your email again? That's what I'm thinking.
Tony at biznerdhero.com. Biz nerd hero. I'm not the nerd you need or the nerd you want, but I'm the nerd you need right now. Yeah, that one.
You gotta do that in your Christian Bible. I'm not the nerd you need.
Right. I was born in the darkness.
Today is National Dork Day.
It is my day. And I just want to might as well put my face on that announcement.
You're right.
Give me a button button with your face on it.
Mm-hmm. Has the lovely Vanessa ever called you a dork?
Oh, yeah. I mean, twice this morning, I think, before I got here.
I was going to say, my lovely Lisa has called me a dork many times. So.
Yeah.
I think we're in the similar club.
I think just walks away shaking her head saying, you're such a dork. Like, that's all I get.
I just get the look from my dog, the you're a dork look.
By the way, 4 days ago, we celebrated 23 years married. So I've been a dork for at least that long.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And what did you do with the lovely Vanessa for your
anniversary? We went down to Sonoyta and enjoyed some of the wineries down there.
Very nice.
And then because we're old, we were home and in bed by like 8:30. So, you know.
Welcome to my world. Welcome
to
my world.
Got to bed early because I got to get up and work.
Before we get to lots of things we're going to talk about with Tony, Founders Institute, something about email hashes or...
I'm going to scare some of you and the rest of you are going to want to call me and hire me this morning. You watch. I'm telling you.
It reminds me of that old Stephen King commercial in the late 80s or whatever. He would go, I'm Stephen King and I'm going to scare the hell out of you. starring Tony Ford.
Yeah, right.
Just real quick, tomorrow is a big day for us. We are doing a live remote at the Biosphere 2.
Oh, very cool.
So,
like in the lung part or, you know, down in the pond?
Well, there's... So, of course, as you know, you're a man who's done remotes yourself before.
Yeah.
You got to have, you know, power, internet, and not so echoey.
Right.
Being in the place with the... With the fountains and all that other
stuff, not so good.
Ain't gonna work. So
it's calming white noise, like a spa experience.
I am gonna be in the. John Adams up there said I'm gonna be, or Rick, one of those good men said I'm gonna be in one of the Biospherians dormitories.
Mm.
So
right look under the beds,
right where they ate that pizza in secret.
See where they hid the Cheetos.
Look under the bed. Look up in the ceiling tiles, and I'll go under the bed.
It may crash the ecosystem, but I love Cheetos.
Now I feel like Ian Malcolm Chaos Theory mixed with Cheetos is all going to happen inside the biosphere. So it's going to be a good day because not only are we going to do a remote that's pack-filled of very smart people from the U of A and the biosphere itself. Mm-hmm. This all started with Joaquin Ruiz being on the show, and he said to me on the air, this is in May, he goes, hey, when was the last time you were in the biosphere? And all of a sudden, you know, DeSimone, who's always talking, mm-hmm. awkward silence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago. He's like, ah! We should do a remote.
That's right.
And we're an agile organization. We put it together within 30 days. So
Joaquin's got all kinds of cool stuff going on.
He does.
He's the man.
He is.
You know what's so cool about Joaquin? Is that he can walk both worlds, right? Yeah. He can go nerd out.
Right.
Right, because he's a geologist.
Extreme academic.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he can just hang with the crew.
Yeah.
And talk to you like a human being.
And probably drink tequila more than you can.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the best parts of Joaquin. I love him a lot for a lot of things, but the idea that he can come on this show and sound like a regular dude talking about all these amazing things.
Right.
I think is a pretty rare thing out there.
Yeah. Oh.
So anyway, so we're going to be out there. So what they're going to do is now if you go to the Biosphere tomorrow, they're going to offer you I want the Wake Up Tucson rate, please. They're going to give you the student U of A student ID rate. So instead of $21, it's $11.
Nice.
To go do the Biosphere tour. So I'm going to be on the tour, the first one, once I get off the air.
And then he's going to be giving the tour. So this is plants, and these are some glass things. Look at this. You can play soccer on this grass. It's not good looking.
Here's the recompostable toilets. That's we're right. doing it all. But anyway, so at 9 o'clock-ish, try to get there a little earlier. We'll all try to take one big tour together. But you can go during the whole day and just say you want the Wake Up Tucson rate, and they'll get you in for $11.
Right on.
So we'll have a good mix of people that I know are coming. Got some emails from some folks I never heard of. I'm bringing the kids up. What a perfect, you know, kind of summer day kind of thing.
I bet you it's air-conditioned in there.
You better be.
But it'll probably rain, too.
Otherwise,
it rains in there, too.
So please join us tomorrow for our live. Well, I'll be on the air but please come around 9-ish, a little before 9, and then we'll go do the tour together.
It takes a while. First of all, it takes a while to get there.
Sure.
Then you still have to go through the gate. Then you still have to go through the... You have to... Don't get there at 9 o'clock.
They'll get there at like 8:30.
Yeah.
Get there at 8:30.
Exactly. So really, think like a Midwesterner, not a Tucsonan, because you'll be 10 minutes late if you're from Tucson.
Right? Exactly.
I feel like that's,
just saying.
I feel like that's some sort of geographic profiling, personally.
No, but I have a theory. Yes. Everybody from Tucson is used to this town being easy to move around in back when it was smaller. So it's 10 minutes to get anywhere is in their head, but in truth, it's 20 minutes to get anywhere at least, so you end up being 10 minutes late everywhere.
So isn't this a mindset, though, this whole...
I mean, maybe. Or maybe it's just... you know, people, and now there's Michigan lefts and there's different, you know, you weren't counting on the potholes, you know, you've got to, like, you're just not planning.
So hasn't technology made us more tardy, right? Because we have this ability that we can just call you when we're supposed to be there,
well,
and it's okay.
I forgot that I was going to be on this show until 10 minutes before 7, and I was like, well, I can make it if I hit the lights.
And you did.
I did. My wife on the way out the door was like, hey, dork, slow down. Put your seatbelt on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So when we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to start either in this, you had 16.
16 people start the Founder Institute this time around and only 4 finish. And we could talk about that process a little bit.
Yep.
And then later on, if you want to talk, we can talk about email, encrypted email hashes and how I can cyber stalk everything about you when you visit a website.
Yikes.
What
I mean, everything.
Did he say?
I'm talking about who owns your mortgage and how much you pay in taxes. Everything.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And then Tales from TUSD with a 30-year retired teacher coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. It might be scarier than your email hashes,
yeah,
is what I'm thinking. So
it's like goosebumps this morning.
It is Jason Bonham, son of John Bonham's birthday today. Of course, from the, he had that one hit with Bonham, the group called Wait For You. And then he's our drummer on our Killer Cashmere with the boys.
All right.
From O2. So wake up, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Artemis Pyle playing the drums. Lily skinny.
Like, wow, you screwed up.
What up?
You know, sometimes the best conversations are the ones you guys never get to hear.
It's unfortunate.
Tony and I make each other giggle once in a while. So that's Tony Ford, Founders Institute, Magnitude
Management.
I always think of
wow,
as in order of magnitude growth in your company. That's what we call it.
I whenever I hear the word magnitude, I always think about the first Despicable Me movie. His competing villain is a guy named Vector. The guy looks like Kozachik.
I didn't watch the Despicable. My kids were already too old for that, so I didn't.
I'll show it to you. But when he says his name is Vector,
yeah.
So he goes, Vector. Yeah. Direction meets magnitude.
So it's a physics joke.
Thank you.
I like that. Nice.
Let's go to scaring people to death first.
Yeah,
let's do that. I want to get this out because there's going to be some people that are going to get to work a little early or whatever. So
let's start there. Okay, so everywhere you go on the internet, everywhere, you know, all of you guys know there's things like cookies and things that follow you around. So you go incognito mode or you clear your cookies or you have a privacy software or whatever to try to protect yourself.
Yep.
But what you cannot clear, cannot remove, what follows you everywhere is something called your email hash. That is an encrypted hash. It's a string of numbers and letters that in theory are supposed to be uncrackable. That is your email address. And your email address has become your universal ID on the internet. Even if you use several email addresses, because let's face it, it's not hard to figure out if the same 3 hashes visit the same 10 websites in a row, it's all you, right? That's pretty easy to do. And that string of numbers and letters has a bunch of information attached to it. Everything you've ever done with your email address. So if you filled out a credit card application, there may be an income there. If it's attached to, we can figure out, you know, so let me explain how it works. You go to the website. If someone like one of my marketing teams has installed a certain tracking pixel, we can record the hash. And then we can send that hash to another company who can decrypt it.
Anthony, let me interrupt you for a second, please.
Yeah.
What was the initial, when someone said we need to do encrypt your your email with a hash?
Yes.
Was this literally a marketing thing to begin with?
No, this was
explaining your email with a hash. How did we get to hashes
so really
in the first
place? Like Facebook and Amazon and all those folks, they want to be able to track you, right? They want to know what you're doing, but they also want to try to protect your privacy as much as possible. So
sure
they encrypt these things. And,
yeah, well, I mean, right.
Here's
the
thing.
Really
from everyone else, not from them,
right.
From everyone else. So they encrypt the email and the hash, but the email is the easiest thing to kind of follow you around with, right? It belongs to you. You use it everywhere. All right. So... and believe it or not, even with like the European Union and their regulations, GDPR and other things, this is all still legal within the current framework, all of this stuff. So we take that hash and we record it, and there's this long string of letters and numbers that is representative of Chris DeSimone's email, okay? And then I can send that to another company, and about 90% of the time, not always, but 90% of the time, they can decrypt it and give me the email, and they run it against a database of everything that email's done. And I get 450 fields of information, and they include full name, address, phone number, your current car, who owns the note on your car, how much the balance of your car is, who you're paying for your insurance, what the property taxes are on your home, what the property tax value is, whether you have kids in the home.
Because what happened was I provided my email address to the bank, my insurance company.
Right, to someone. So you can imagine if you're a mortgage broker or you're a auto dealer or you're, this is very valuable information right now. I could just reach out and spam you that and say, hey, Chris, you visited my website. Hi, I'm Creepy Tony. That won't work very well, right? but there are ways to target. You know, already you can target people who visit websites with Facebook advertising and things like that, but there are ways to use these emails to try to reach out to you and say, okay, look, since so many people are recording this email hash, I know that Chris has visited two mortgage pages on two different banks, and he's been to a real estate agent. So it's likely that he's in the market for a home.
Right.
Well, that's really valuable information to know that you're in the market for a home and what your current home is worth and what your current car is, right? You can see how that's kind of valuable from a marketing standpoint,
right,
of who I should reach out to. But I'll show you the field sometime, Chris. There's 400 of them. And
it's too scary.
It's everything. Like, I can look at it and go... Yeah, exactly, right?
Thank you, $4 sound machine.
Again, all completely legal within the current rules and regs, right? And now reaching out spamming people wouldn't be, that'd be a violation of canned spam laws. But it is kind of important data to know that that's all out there. When we talk about, there's no real privacy on the web. I just want to tell you, there's no privacy on the web, right? We can really get all of this.
I remember years ago being at a Visit Tucson summit thingy. No, it was a State of Arizona Tourism. Mm-hmm. And they had some, dork from Maryland doing a thing about not that next stage of behavioral advertising, right, where they follow you on something you clicked, mm-hmm. but then also how it ties in with your phone and the locator on your phone.
Yes.
Right. So for tourism, it was the idea that you clicked, if you lived in Maryland and you went on something, a Visit Tucson or something in Tucson, right now, all of a sudden, now they know.
Yeah.
And they keep hitting you with Tucson stuff. And then what happens is the moment you and your phone show up and land at Tucson International Airport,
you start getting ads from hotels.
But it tells Visit Tucson
that you got here.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then they go, oh, they give, oh, we got to do a little here. It gets the, you showed up.
Exactly.
And, right. So now it's really measurable that they know they got you there.
And with an integrated, like if you did a Bluetooth or Wi-Fi beacon system, not only could somebody like Visit Tucson, if they were wanting to take this far, they could tell which hotel you stayed at, which restaurants you visited.
Yeah.
Like we could get a full profile of this was the economic impact of this individual person, right?
So, no, they can follow you everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And is it the phone alone or is it in cohort with three or four other phones? Is it a family trip? Is it an individual trip? Like, that's all doable.
Right.
That
data
is all out there, right?
That's right.
And so, I use this all the time. So I run for clients all the time something I call the no booth conference strategy, which is don't buy a booth. Let me target the convention center with ads for everybody on Facebook who is at the convention center but lives more than 100 miles away from the convention center.
Right.
So that's just the attendees. And I'll hammer away at them with ads and invite them to a VIP party in the suite that you get upstairs, right, if they fill out a form. And now you get the leads, you get the suite. You don't even need a booth. Why would you buy a booth? I mean, I can...
And a booth's like $5,000.
Right. And this whole thing costs less than that. And you just hammer far away at these people, right?
Right.
So they're seeing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 ads a day for your product or services and this invitation.
Right.
And then, you know, you can also do email warm-ups. Oftentimes, we'll do an email campaign up front to people who we have the email list for the convention. Hey, here are the best 5 brew pubs in town. Here are the best places to get a burger. Here's the best place close to the hotel to, you know, get a massage or whatever, right? All of those things. And then people download the guide, so you have the email addresses before you arrive at the convention center. So, there, I mean, there's a strategy to all of this.
How do we defend ourselves, Tony?
You don't. I spend all day.
I want to get on the same side as he is. Okay, so there's 400 fields in the hashtag,
yeah.
The email hash, and you're going to have a meeting with the... You know, your next prospect for a sales prospect or something, you want to look up those 450. You know everything about this person before you walk in the door.
Right.
Or the next person you're going to interview on the show. I mean, you got to know.
For example, based on... So many different marketers are running these email pixels on their websites that the company that has access to the email pixels, the parent company that gives these out... They sell other pieces of information. For example, I can tell you which 6,000 email addresses in Tucson are associated with people who will buy a used car in the next 45 days. That's valuable information.
Hell yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, there's this kind of information. And so, on the one hand, yeah, it's creepy, right, where they're tracking us. On the other hand, when advertising gets good enough, it's no longer advertising. When Amazon says, Chris... You're almost out of coffee. Would you like us to order more? And you say yes, and it shows up on your doorstep the next day. That's not advertising. That's a service at that point.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Creepy service, but
it's a creepy service. But we get used to that level of customization.
That's your dream as a marketer, right? Sure. Is that you're not selling them. You're now becoming... You're an order taker.
I wish to just before the need, predict what you want to buy so I can get the right product in front of you.
So to get to access the data on somebody's hash...
Yes.
Is that something you pay for as a service?
Yeah, you pay for it as a service. You want to know how expensive it is per hash?
Yeah.
Okay, so to resolve the email address, it's 2 cents. To resolve all 450 fields, it's under $1.
Help me. Where do I sign up?
Well, you got to know a guy.
Yeah, you do.
but my point is, it's not terribly expensive. Totally, and Verizon and T-Mobile and, you know, Amazon and Face, they're all doing this, right?
Right.
They're trying to make... Everything they do is trying to make every individual person online is their own audience segment. So they only want to show, you know, Facebook and Google don't get paid unless you click on the ad. They only want to show the right ad to the right person.
Right.
They don't want to show you ads for something you're not interested in. It's only what you're interested in. That's the goal.
790-2040. Let's go to the phones. We got Roberta on line 2. Roberta, you're on with Tony Ford. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Tony. What you're talking about right now is bringing to mind a question I've been having for a while. We now have to listen to one of our talk shows out of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that through our computer and a, quote, squeeze box radio.
Okay.
During the commercials, we will get an ad for Banner University Health.
Sure.
Local ads.
Local ads,
it's a local ad out of a Seattle station, and my question has kind of always been in my mind, is this some sort of a, I don't know, what do you call them, cookie, pop-up ad, something like that?
It's called over-the-top advertising, and people like Hulu and other places that have ads, for TV even, can sell that to local buyers. So they know that the IP address that you're accessing the stream from is in Tucson. So they're not going to advertise you Seattle things unless they have no other choice, right? There might be a Seattle ads embedded in the stream, but any opportunity where the computer knows that there's an ad break... And something can go in there. If someone's willing to pay to advertise locally, they're going to make more money on that. So Squeezebox is going to sell that advertising to, you know, as a package to local companies. Same thing. We can buy this on Hulu. You can buy it on, you know.
And then they charge the advertiser per... Yeah. How many people actually went to?
Like if you wanted to buy on Hulu, let's say you run an emergency veterinary clinic and you want to advertise on Hulu in Tucson. $10,000 a month, minimum 3-month contract. You're going to commit to $30,000, but you're going to target everybody who's likely to be a pet owner, because Hulu knows if you're a pet owner or not too, based on the other things your computer does.
Sure.
Right? right? Do you go to Chewy.com? Do you order certain products? So
yes.
Remember that, you're also getting the banner ads and not another type of ad because of what your computer is assuming about you based on your website traffic. Even though it's not connected to Squeezebox, Squeezebox has access to all of that data.
You know, Tony, that's a tiny bit scary.
A lot of this is scary. When you really get into it, a lot of you are like, wow, they know a lot about me. Yes, we continually give up privacy for convenience. That's what we do.
Well, that makes me want to continue to decline giving people my email address. You know, they're always asking you.
Right.
Whenever you buy anything now, would you like to give us your email address for coupons? And I go, no, thank you very much. So I think I've been, I'm going to continue to do that. But thank you for clearing that up because I've wondered. We do get, of course, during the broadcast from there, there's Seattle ads
that are embedded.
But then every now and then this banner, University Health, will pop up, and I go, wait a minute. Seattle doesn't think there are enough people from Tucson listening.
No. Right. It's absolutely over the top.
You can never run away from Banner University Hospital.
It's
like being chased by the Borg from Star Trek.
Well,
you will be assimilated.
The truth is we are old people, and we have access medical facilities, but never Banner University. So it's just getting scarier by the second. Gentlemen, you have a wonderful day. It's good talking with you.
Thank you.
You too, Roberta.
Bye-bye.
And I would point out for Roberta or anybody else out there, giving your email address is one thing, but it doesn't really matter anymore. You don't have to give it to me for me to access all this information. I can tell what it is if you visit the website.
Ugh. How's that for an end of a...
Right?
Ugh. 7:31 in the morning, Tony Ford, Christy Simone, Edward P. Alexander. Tales from the TUSD dungeons coming up at the top of the hour. Umpire John, hold on, we'll get to you. 790-2040. You're on Wake Up Tucson on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. 7:35 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVOI The Voice. Remember, if you missed anything, head over to the podcast page, kvoi.com. Also can stream over there. Tales of TUSD coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We're hanging out with Tony Ford, Founders Institute and Magnitude
Management.
Management. I'm going to get this
magnitude
before, though.
Everything.
He made it so hard for me.
Magnitude Management, right?
He just scared the hell out of you about your email hashes.
That's right.
And
don't worry. Just go back to your normal day. Ignore all of that. You don't need to know about it.
Don't
click on anything.
Enjoy your blissful life, drones. 7:36 in the morning. Let's go to Umpire John calling up. Are you in Flagstaff today, buddy?
Yes, sir, I am. God, I like Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Good bump.
Produced by Trevor Horn, whose birthday is today. So what do you got for us, John?
Yes, sir. I was in the cockpit. We had another captain on the jump seat, and she whips out this huge, big Apple laptop and working on a master's of forensic software, and she's watching the packets of data fly around from the passengers in the back and reading data. I'm going, whoa.
Sure.
And so with that in mind, I don't do any personal banking unless I'm hooked into I'm at home and I'm plugged into my modem via a LAN cable.
Tony, tell him why that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So if you are connected via an encrypted connection that's encrypted end-to-end with you and your bank, which it should be an HTTPS, connection, and and you're, in theory, it's end-to-end encryption, which, by the way, the U.S. government is trying to get rid of. They're going to pass a law blocking end-to-end encryption because the Department of Justice can't hack it, so they don't want it, which that's all your WhatsApp, your Signal, your other forms of communication that are end-to-end encrypted. There's a law pending to block that. So provided that the entire end-to-end is encrypted, you should be all right, right? What we worry about is the man in the middle, which is what your co-pilot was doing. So she was in the plane. People passing information, especially via Bluetooth, may not be using encrypted apps. So those are unencrypted packets moving around, right? Because they may not be using software that's encrypted. In theory, if you're doing banking, under the PCI compliance laws and the banking laws, that should all be encrypted. Banking intercepts are somewhat difficult. Having said that, on the dark web, I can buy cracked U.S. bank accounts for 2 cents, 15 cents a piece, 10,000 at a time, if you really want to go scary. But in theory, again, so
hide in my hole.
Yeah, plugging into the wall only matters. It only matters if the Wi-Fi router using or the wireless connection using is somehow not encrypted, right? Which lots of people don't have there.
Just go smash all your stuff and go back into the cave, John. That's all you can do right now.
Is there room at the compound? I'm going to fall in a hole near the compound.
Yes, we need a pilot.
The good news is when something like that
tell
happens,
us the good news,
when,
Tony,
there's, when there's fraud, it's usually you just have to report it properly and the bank's going to eat it.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth of the matter. The laws are set up to protect you somewhat. Now, we get into this, and you want to talk about encryption, though. That's interesting. And while we've got Umpire John, is that
Umpire John
on the phone?
Yes.
Have you seen the encryption attacks that are done with the Bitcoin hackers? They just did one in the government, one of the governments in Florida. They roll in, they sneak into your network, they encrypt, get everything staged with a worm, and then they hit you with an email and says, everything in your network will be permanently encrypted and you will not have the key unless you send us, you know, $50,000 in Bitcoin. And the FBI will tell you, you probably should pay it because...
Yeah, I saw a bunch of cities that was in Wall Street Journal about a week ago.
Yes.
The cities are saying, nah, we're going to just, you know, hopefully they got offset. But data that's old enough.
So Atlanta didn't pay the $50,000 and they spent $11.5 million recovering the data.
Mm.
So it comes down to, I mean, it's not, do you want to negotiate with cyber criminals? No, but do you want to spend $12 million in taxpayer money or $50,000? Right? And I think the city in Florida had to pay a $10,000 deductible, but they had insurance to cover it for cyber. Most private companies will not announce this happened. So they're not telling you it's happening because
not.
No one wants to talk about that. But this is becoming more common. So if you've got a lot of data, if it's important to you, back it up to something that's not connected to the internet or to your network and take it off.
There it is, John.
Oh, God. I'm going to go grab my mule and the plow and the seed corn, and I'm out across the golf course that I'm looking at down the hill.
It's a brave new world.
John, have a good day, buddy.
Bye-bye.
790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Billy number two up in the OV, not as north as Flagstaff, but close. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Good, interesting show. I'm hiding under the couch right now while I'm talking.
it's like the old bomb shelter exercises you did as a kid. It's just,
well, you put the tinfoil on your head to block the signals.
That's right.
In, right? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Tony, I was going to ask you, you made a comment about, you know, when you go to websites and you click on stuff and whatnot. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, and you tell me if it's just a waste of my time. In terms of, you know, sort of having some protection and this and that, but I use Firefox browser, and I use NoScript to block all of these ads and
And all junk, the double click tracking and the JavaScript tracking and all the little
and it cleans things up very nicely and makes it nice and fast. And is there something, is that good or is there something better out there?
No, I mean, NoScript is fine with JavaScript, and I've used different ad blockers and things like that. As a marketer, I don't block any ads because I want to see them. So I'm kind of an anomaly in that people are like, why don't you pay for the YouTube premium so you don't waste your time with ads? I'm like, I want to see who's targeting me with what. I'm very interested in how they're doing that.
Sure.
But, you know, those kind of blockers... And those are very useful, and they will cut down on the amount of tracking and information that's added. Now, things like an email hash or stuff like that, you probably can't block that from being read or recorded, just because.
How about if you use, if a person used, you know, basically, you know, a throwaway email when you give these things out?
Yeah, and I've done that. I've got 10 or 15 email addresses, and they all get attached. Because I can tell. Well, remember, let's say I've got three different email addresses, so there's three different hashes riding around on my browser, okay?
Yeah.
And I go to five websites in a row. It's not hard to figure out that if the same three hashes visit five websites simultaneously, that they all belong together, right? It's
okay.
A cohort
right.
match.
Okay.
So, it's a little more difficult to do that. You know, using a totally encrypted browser, using a VPN, there's a bunch of different... If you really want to get, like, hardcore about it, there's ways to get around this.
Sure.
But at some point, is it worth it?
You're right.
I mean, that's
the
truth.
About Thor, right? About using Thor?
The Tor browser? Yeah, the Tor browser.
Yeah,
so Tor browsers are fine. That's what people use to access. For those out there, those are what people use to access what is known colloquially as the dark web is a Tor browser sometimes. It's an encrypted browser. You can totally use an encrypted browser. There's some things that won't work for you. Some of your auto form fields, some other things will be blocked. You know, it's difficult to interact on the web with things other than just reading copy. And then I would never advise for anyone anywhere to ever access the dark web for any reason. That's just me. Because there's scary stuff that happens there, that no one wants to be a part of.
Correct.
But having said that, you could use an encrypted browser. That'd be another way to try to protect yourself.
But there's just not too terribly much a person can do. Basically, the cat's out of the bag. We just got to live with it, kind of a thing.
I mean, my feeling is that a lot of you can do a lot to be secure if you're willing to give up convenience. And at some point, how much convenience do you want to give up? Do you want to have to plug in your Amazon login every time? Do you want it not to remember your address? Do you want your credit card not to autofill? There's a lot of things that we use out there that are really convenient, and we've given up privacy for that.
Sure.
So,
well, gosh, I'll sign off. Thanks a lot for the news.
Are you going to join Umpire John in the hole in the compound? That's what I want to know.
Well, I know right now he's out there planting seed corn on a golf course, so I'm going to probably show up out there to get some of that.
The nice thing is that it's auto-irrigated on the golf course, so it should work out well.
With reclaimed water. Good luck.
Chihuahua. 790-2040 is the phone number. WakeUpTucson@gmail.com. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Teddy on line three. Teddy, you're on with the Scaremeister, Tony Ford.
just a humble marketer.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
How good are these VPN services? And should you use them even when you're on your home internet?
So VPNs can be very good. I've used them before. That's a virtual private network. So it's an encrypted connection between you. Usually it's your computer connects to a set of computers somewhere else in the world. And then from those computers, you connect to the internet, right? So it's encrypted from your computer to the computers in California in some server stack. And then that server is what's connecting to the other locations. If you've got a completely, if it's completely encrypted end to end and everything, your browser, your software using is encrypted and the software you're accessing encrypted, it could be good for stopping kind of man-in-the-middle attacks or people who are trying to snoop on packets or data or things like that. It could be very useful. But again, at the end of the day, you're accessing the website with a browser and some of this stuff is stored on your computer. So even with a VPN, there may be things, there are things that are on that computer that's in California that's a cookie, but you're still going to plug your email address in somewhere, right? Email address is still going to get information attached to it. Which eventually, if you don't, if you use your phone or you use your refrigerator, use your washing machine, whatever, there's internet everywhere now. Everything you've got in your house has a screen on.
Turn the lights on.
Yeah, you plug it into your car, your Nest thermostat.
Wi-Fi slow cookers I can buy now.
Yeah, so eventually the email address gets connected to you. I mean, that's just kind of how it works. So some of that information is always going to be out there. Again, it's all this kind of layers of protection. So if you use a no script blocker and you use a VPN and, there's a lot of things you're going to stop. You're going to stop 80 or 90% of the marketing tracking cookies and scripts and things like that. Some of it you're probably never going to stop. And at the end of the day, does it matter that much? I mean, most of this information is public. I can look up what your house is worth in the Pima County Assessor's Office, right?
Right. You just go to their website.
I go to their website and look it up. I can look up what your address is if I know, enough about you or Google Maps. A lot of this stuff is public information, right? It's just pulling it all together in a nice, easy-to-use way that's handy for marketers.
Sure.
Right?
Well, Teddy, you do your Java,
your no script and your ad blocker, 80-90%. You can block a bunch of this stuff. Yeah. Now, again, it'll slow you down a little bit. Your connections will be a little slower. Some things won't work quite right. But that's just part of, you're just exchanging. It is always, the currency is always privacy and convenience. You're always exchanging one for the other.
Okay.
Teddy, thanks for the good call.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great day. 7:47 in the morning. One more segment with, Mr. Tony Ford, and then we'll scare you some more with Tales of TUSD coming up in the third hour.
Yeah.
There'll be some fun stuff
spooky
in there.
Spooky campfire stories with Christy Simone this morning.
That's true. remember also, our good friends at Sister Jose need bottles of water. They need 12 to 20-ounce bottles of water. So either go to their website at just Google Sister Jose Women's Shelter and send them a few dollars to help them out. Or a lot of you are just going to the place on 22nd and Euclid and dropping off cases of water. Very important. Please do this. One of our great listeners actually ordered a pallet of water and just had it delivered to the Sister Jose.
Cool.
So please go if you can on your way to Costco, Sam's Club. Some of my restaurateurs are going to the Restaurant Depot right down the street. Pick up so many extra bottles of water and drop off a few cases to Gene and the crew at Sister Jose. It's a little hot outside, so... Tony Ford, Christy Simone, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, KVOI, The Voice. I'm watching Tony Ford dance to this.
Shimmy just a little.
How can you not dance when Linda does Heat Wave? Come on.
Yeah.
I noticed that your dance style.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of the gopher in Caddyshack.
Yeah, it is. It's actually where I learned to dance, was watching Caddyshack.
You know what classic I was watching with my wife over the weekend? Meatballs.
All right.
I had not seen Meatballs in at least 20 years.
Still fun?
It is still fun.
All right.
Bill Murray, that's it. That's where he starts hitting the stride. When he does the Jerry Aldini, the guy who's he pretends to be from the competing camp on the day that they're both.
Because
the kids at his are getting into the crappy school buses and the Mohawk kids are getting into the luxury liners. It's the best.
I saw Caddyshack come up on my Netflix queue the other day. I was like, yeah, probably again. Yeah, sure.
I did finish Stranger Things season 3.
So did I.
And I did like it.
Yeah, it was good.
You know, can't tell you. It was lots of spoilers.
Yeah, we can't really talk about it. But it was good.
Scoops ahoy.
I actually started watching Star Trek Discovery. You're a Trek fan.
I am. I haven't watched anything. So this is worth it?
Absolutely.
Really?
It is one of the best sci-fi series I have seen in a very long time.
This is on the CBS streaming?
Yeah, and that's what kept me from watching it for so long. I was like, I don't need another subscription to something that I only want to watch one show. And I finally broke down and did it. And
how much does that cost?
$7 a month or something. Okay. With ads. I mean, it was, you know.
What do you got for the best, cheapest? I cut the cord.
Yep.
All right, I'm on internet only now.
Yep.
I already have Netflix, Prime, of course, right? HBO Now.
Yep.
I feel like I'm missing. Oh, and I have my ESPN Plus for soccer.
I don't even have ESPN. I use just those three. So, right. But then if I ever really want to watch something, the Prime, I use a Fire Stick from Amazon.
Right.
Which I'm sure gives me better service because it tracks the heck out of everything I watch to put ads in front of me. I mean, that's how it works, right?
Right.
But there's all kinds of apps on there, and it works pretty well. And I resisted the Fire Stick for a long time because I was a Chromecast guy, and then finally I was like, I can't watch the Prime stuff without a Fire Stick.
Fire Stick's better.
It is better.
It really is.
I had a Chromecast. It was a pain in the ass connecting.
That's just it. I was really... Jeff Bezos is, my guy.
So it's so funny you say, well, just, do the Fire Stick with all these services, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, they all... This is so funny you're saying this, right? Because, of course, any of these extra services you want, they want all your... They want your email.
They want all your data. They're tracking everything. That's what I said. Like, I walk around. The difference between me, I think, as a marketer and most people is that I realize I'm involved in an exchange every day. I'm like, yes, I'll give you my privacy. Please give me convenience. Right. It's an exchange. I'm selling currency. Your email address is currency. Right? You fill out a form, you're getting something. So if I as a marketer am asking you to give me your email address, I'm trying to give you something of value. It's a 20-page guide, it's a downloadable thing, it's a coupon, it's a discount, it's a something. I have to give you something of value. That's currency. You're spending it. It's money in your wallet, right? Just understand that you're involved in an exchange and make it fair.
The Founders Institute, this is something that when we first started this conversation, I kind of feel like it was at least over a year ago when this thing started.
Yeah,
is that true?
Well, we were recruiting a long time ago. We only do one cohort a year. And we recruited, we had hundreds of applicants who went through the testing process. And we ended up with 16 people in the course who started.
Right.
And at the end of it, we ended up with 4 who finished. It is a very, very rigorous program that's designed to wash people out. Because those of you out there in the audience who are running a business, you know that business is a fight every day. You get up every day and you go to war. That's just what you do.
Right.
It's going to be something. It's going to be a government regulation, a change in the tax law. An employee is going to not show up. Something's going to catch
shifting
on fire.
Shifting markets, competition.
Just right. Competition, pricing. Every day you're going to go and it's a fight. And if you can't handle that, you should get a job and not run a business. So our intent in Founders Institute is to put you through the ringer. And if you can make it out the other side, you might have a shot at it.
What's the number one reason people get kicked out? They basically don't make it.
The workload. So on top of your job, whatever you're doing, you're getting 20 hours of homework a week. And you have to every week come in and present on that in a quick 5-minute pitch that other CEOs and founders are going to judge. And the scoring is 1, 2, 4, and 5. 5 is I would give you money today. Here's my checkbook. 4 is I will personally introduce you to people to help you. 2 is don't quit yet. There might be something here. And 1 is go home. There is no 3.
Right.
There's
right.
Nothing in the middle. You're either on track or you should stop.
It's very Yoda-esque of you.
I mean, that's great. There is no try. Only do. But so we just, between that and the homework, and if you get behind on the homework, we assign you an additional 10 hours of homework to catch you up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? So it's just, it's very intense. On purpose.
Of course.
The last thing we want is people going out and starting businesses and investing their life savings and maxing out their credit cards and asking their family for money when they don't. They're not so committed to it and capable of delivering that they don't have a decent chance of success, right? It's a shame when businesses fail. It hurts everyone.
Give me an example of one of the products/services that came out of this thing that you're kind of like,
yeah,
wow.
So there's a few. One of them is a patented rain harvesting system for, it's called Rainblocks, and it's a tank that snaps together to form sheds and walls and, you know, build garden nooks and benches. So you don't have that big, ugly culvert thing sitting in your yard.
But it's collecting water when it rains.
Right, right. But it's still collecting water when it rains, but you can make a shed out of it, right? And put your tools in there. But it's all the walls are made out of these tanks, right?
So the blocks absorb the water?
You still roll it in from, say, a gutter or a downspout or whatever, right. But the tank is no longer this ugly thing that your homeowners association is going to give you grief about.
Instead of insulation in the walls, you have water in the walls.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's still got channels for wire and stuff like that. It's like giant Legos that snap together and water fills up, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then another one is a prototype that's coming out for a handheld device for agricultural pest detection. So a lot of the pests that affect crops, you can't see with a human eye until it's too late. By the time you can see it, the leaves are turning brown, things are dying, right? This one is starting in the cannabis grow space, which is, you know, legal for medical use in the country, in many parts of the country, in some parts recreational. But you walk along the line of the plants and you shoot it with the gun and it tells you, hey, there's a pest and this is what the pest is and this is what you should do to remediate it before you can see it. So that's pretty cool. But it can also be used for strawberries. It can be used for tomatoes, any of the greenhouse plants, right? So that's moving through prototype phase right now.
Wow.
And agricultural losses in the U.S. are significant, especially in hothouse grow operations, because if you think about it, inside a greenhouse, if a pest takes off, it goes quickly, right?
Right.
It spreads everywhere. So.
Well, we keep talking about the global implications of such things like this are just massive, really, in the end.
I mean, a little bit of advantage in agricultural food production saves a lot of lives at the end of the day.
It's like we had the lady on from the U of A who figured out how to prevent some sort of fungus to grow on corn or something, right? And then she talked about the global implications of saving all these people from dying, basically, all over the world.
Millions of lives, right.
Crazy.
It is interesting.
Yeah. All right. How do we find out more about Founders Institute?
You can go to Founders Institute, fi.co, and it should auto-detect that you're in Tucson, unless you're using some VPN or something. And it'll let you sign up to apply for our next session, which will be next year. But we'll start recruiting very soon again for the next session.
Tony Ford, you the man.
Thank you.
Appreciate the hour as always, sir.
Great always enjoy
you.
The time.
Thank you.
We have a TUSD thing coming on. We got Pleas for Help, Tales from the Dark Side. We're doing it all. Should be a lot of laughs, a lot of tears, a lot of... What'd you just say? Wake up.